All right, tonight, if you have a prodigal son or a daughter, a prodigal grandson or a prodigal granddaughter, you have a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody that you hold dear to your heart that once had a relationship with God. Maybe you trained them up in the way in which they should go, but as they got older and circumstances happened, situations happened, they went wayward, they backslid, they went into prodigal living. This is going to be the podcast you need to hear tonight. We're going to do a reaction video, and we're going to show you a powerful testimony that I believe is going to build your faith and get you back in your prayer closet in a posture of intercession and prayer and begin to believe once again that you will see your miracle just as we're going to see one displayed here tonight. So without further ado, let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? It is Thursday night, October 17th. We welcome to the podcast tonight. I almost said broadcast, but it is a broadcast. So welcome to the podcast and welcome to the broadcast. All of our viewers coming in from YouTube, maybe you're watching via Rumble or the rebroadcast of this, or maybe you're listening by Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. We welcome all of our viewers, our regular viewers, our partners, everybody. You guys in the chat room, we welcome you as well. God bless every one of you. Thank you for coming on tonight. And as we said in the introduction of this, if you have a prodigal son or daughter, prodigal granddaughter, prodigal grandson, or someone, again, that you loved and you were believing God for to do great things and God had a great plan for their life. Maybe you discipled them, you saw them get saved, you baptized them in water, you got saved with them, and then as time went on and they just completely backslid. Tonight is going to be the night that you've got to stick around and listen to this amazing and powerful testimony. Before we get started, did you know that you guys can help us spread this message and help other people see this broadcast? And all it takes is literally a quick second or two. Just hit that like button and help us get the message out. Take it a step further. Subscribe. Hit the bell notification here on YouTube. You guys on Rumble, you can do the same thing as well. And as always, I always want to encourage you to pick up our free app. Again, this is how you keep up with all of our ministry, everything that we put out, every headline, every podcast, every breaking news alert, everything right at your fingertips. Again, it's a free app available on Apple and Android devices. Just simply hit push notifications and you're going to be good to go. All right, if you got your Bible, I want you to open it up to Luke 15. Obviously, this is for those on Apple and Spotify or listening by podcast that are not watching the program. If you're watching, I'm in Luke 15. I'll pull it up right here. You can follow along with your Bible if you want to, but we're in Luke 15. I'm going to read this. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, talking about Christ, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke a parable unto them, saying, quote, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, if he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need repentance." Verse 8, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends, her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you," and he repeats it again, "there is joy in the presence of the angels of God." He takes it a step further and tells us even more details of what goes on in heaven when a sinner repents and gives their heart to Christ. He said, even in the presence of angels, there is more joy over one sinner who repents. And then finally, and I'm not going to read all this for sake of time. Most of you guys are very familiar with this passage. This all leads into verse 11 and on, where in which it talks about a father who has two sons. One is faithful and serving him. The other takes it his inheritance, and he leaves the presence of the father, goes into prodigal living. Your Bible says he goes into prodigal living, and over a process of time, he's out of the presence of the father. He lives in prodigal living, spends all he has on prodigal living. He reaches the lowest of lows. And then the Bible says, but after time had passed and some time later, or a day had come when he finally came to his senses, and the Bible says that his heart turned and he made his way back to the arms of the father. And the Bible says that the father was already willing to meet him halfway with his arms wide open, embracing him back unto, come on, the family of God, or the family, or the household. And this is a picture. Again, all of this is an illustration of our heavenly father and how he reacts to one of us who, having a covenant with him, chooses one day, because you realize we have a free will. God does not, he does not keep us as puppets. We have a free will that we can wake up every morning and choose whether to serve God or choose to walk away from God. So in this situation, this is a parable that speaks to us a principle, and that is that any one of us has the ability to wake up one morning and choose willfully to stay in God or to walk away from God. Your Bible gives us a clear picture that in the latter days, the Holy Spirit says that some shall depart from the faith. This is what this is. And they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we know, according to Thessalonians, that there will be a falling away of the faith. So we know, and then Paul, in his letters, in multiple letters that he writes in the New Testament, he names people by name who they left the faith because they got enamored and caught up in this present world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But so watch this. Here's the principle. I'm getting ready to pull up this video that we were talking about watching here. The father never gave up on his prodigal son. He never gave up on his wayward son. He never gave up on the backslidden son. He continued to love him, continued to believe he was coming back, and continued, no doubt, continued to pray and intercede that the day would come when the eyes of his understanding would be open and his heart would turn back to him. Because, come on, the Bible says, train up a child in the way in which they should go, that when they are old, they shall not depart from it. It doesn't say. What's interesting is there's an in-between, okay? The in-between, a lot of things can happen. You got a child and then old, but it never mentioned the in-between, because in the in-between, come on, they're faced, our children are, and grandchildren are faced with all kinds of temptations. So I came by today to share a powerful testimony, which we're getting ready to pull up the video. And I'm hoping if you meet, in fact, come on, let's do this right now. If you're in the chat, watching this live in the chat as we're broadcasting this, if you have a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, grandson or granddaughter that's backslid and in the world and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, or you have a very close friend, you have a family member or someone you really love, if you fit that criteria, I want you to raise your hand in the chat, and you can put that little emoji up and raising your hand there. Because you know why I want you to do that? Because this one's for you. This message is for you, because this is going to build your faith so that you stay come on the firing line. You stay in your prayer closet. You stay on your knees. You stay in that posture of intercession and prayer until you see, come on, the manifestation of that prodigal son or daughter coming back to the father. All right, I want to give you a little backdrop on this. First of all, this is a this was a testimony that was shared on the Daystar Network. This testimony was from Karen Wheaton. If you don't know who Karen Wheaton is, she is the founder of The Ramp and Chosen. This is she has a powerful youth ministry that she's had for years. This was a ministry that the Lord gave her, and it's for young people. And they have a campus in Alabama. They have a campus in Chattanooga, I believe, in Tennessee. And they also have one in Cleveland, Tennessee as well. So I know there's at least three campuses. I know of there may be more than that. But we're about to see a powerful testimony regarding one of her two daughters. And you got to hear this. And we'll stop and interject some commentary and so on and so forth as we get into this. So let's watch this.
It's so good to be here. Thank you.
We've been kidding Karen about her Bible. Here, let me have it. I'm going to show it to you.
Oh,
of course, she didn't know I was going to do this, but this is a well-worn Bible here. Yes. Dorothy, how about that?
That's Praying Mama Bible. Yes.
That is a used Bible.
Man, look at that Bible. That's awesome. I think, who was it? Spurgeon that said, show me a man that has a torn Bible and a worn Bible. And I'll show you a man that's not himself torn and worn. I'm paraphrasing that parable. Basically, what he's saying is, if you show me an individual who has a Bible that looks like this, their life is probably not reflective of that. They probably have a strong, solid life because they're in the Word. Come on, and the Word is in them.
Right. That is a praying mama.
That's
Bible.
A praying mama's Bible. There
well
you go.
Well, sword.
Well, so how do you believe for a miracle when everything in the natural says it's impossible? Can we really win the war for our prodigals through prayer and unwavering faith? Well, Karen Wheaton is here to answer these questions and share her miraculous story. And of course, she wrote the book, Watching the Road, Praying for Your Prodigal Home. And, you know, you had a beautiful daughter. You still have a beautiful daughter.
Yes.
But there was a season.
Now, the one that we're going to have the testimony on is right here on the left of your screen. That's who she's going to be telling this testimony about.
And where she walked away from God's plan for her life.
Yes.
And that was very difficult for you. Could you have ever imagined that you'd go through that with her?
Because
she
dreamed it.
Had served the Lord as a little girl growing up, married a minister, married, got kids.
Yeah.
What
She'd
happened?
Never known anything. Mm. But
and now listen to that. She grew up in the household of faith. She knew the Lord. She got married to a pastor, had children, had a family. It goes to show you guys, none of us are exempt. None of us are exempt.
But the presence of God is being raised in the ministry. Mm-hmm. And her personality, too. She was just full of joy and life and love and life of the party. And
yeah.
When this happened and she just turned into someone I did not know. In fact, one time I looked at her and just said, who are you?
Mm. Right.
And because that is what deception will do.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what happened? Just take us back and tell the story for those who are listening.
Well, like I said, I have two daughters. Lauren is my oldest and Lindsay. Lindsay's the youngest. Both of them married ministers and both of them involved in the Ramp ministry
right.
that we have in Hamilton.
Which is like where young people come and have encounter with God and distract.
Yes.
Dramatic testimonies of kids
yes.
delivered and set free from all kind of stuff.
Thousands of young people come. And Casey, her husband, was the pastor of the Ramp Church, and he was also the director of our Ramp School of Ministry. She was over all things performing arts. She's very creative. And it was about 2010-ish.
So she was also involved in ministry as well. So that's a good point to bring out here.
I guess when it first began.
How long had they been married?
They had been married at that point about 4 or 5 years, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
And just a little subtle changes I began to notice in her, the way she dressed, the people she was hanging out with. Her personality just overall begins to distance herself from her children, mm-hmm. from her family, mm-hmm. You knew something is going on, not good.
Now, that's a good point to bring out. Listen, that is a powerful principle right there. If you have family members, sons, daughters, friends, whatever that you love and they're serving the Lord, you need to watch out for those warning signs. She saw those subtle signs, the way they dressed, the way they carry themselves, the way they act, their associations, things that they liked, things that they were listening to, the music they was listening to, the atmospheres that they liked being around, the people they were avoiding. These are huge indicators, guys, that the enemy is luring them away. And when we see this, we've got to intercede and travail in prayer for them even more, because we see and we understand that the enemy is drawing people away. So those are huge red flags. So if you have those red flags right now and your family, it's time to get serious in prayer and intercession.
Good. I couldn't quite figure it out. But by the time I realized what was wrong, it was too late. She came in and just said she was filing for divorce. She was leaving her husband. She was leaving the family, leaving the ministry, and she moved to a different city.
Wow.
And that's where the journey began.
What did she do? That's a lot to walk away from.
It was, and she also had her cosmetology license, okay. So she was making a living doing that. But she was just searching for, in this place of really deception. She had gotten involved in an emotional affair. She tells about that in her book and how she was let out really through an offense that made her vulnerable.
Okay. Do you hear that? An emotional affair, an offense. Now, how many people, this is why I said that, listen, if you're a man and you're in Facebook Messenger or on Telegram or on Twitter or whatever, on these social media platforms where you're engaging with someone of the opposite sex, and you're having these really heartfelt conversations with someone that's not your spouse, you're already playing with fire. This is how this happens, guys. This doesn't just happen overnight. Okay. And then number two, offense. She says offense came in. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said, one of the signs of the coming of the Lord at the end of the age is many shall be offended. And when you become offended, guys, it will open the door for deception, because where there's offense, there's hurt. And where there's hurt, there's wounds. And where there's wounds, you make yourself vulnerable to deception. And so you can see how all this is leading to this.
And set her up to be involved with someone else. And then her heart left. And when her heart left, and when she walked away from all of us, I realized then I had a decision to make for myself. I was either going to just accept this, or I was going to have to hear from God and see what he had to say.
Do you hear that? She's either going to have to accept it or hear from God. That's the dilemma. And that's the truth of the matter. What do we do? What do you do? You guys listening by Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, you're listening to this podcast. If you're in this circumstance, you have two decisions. You can either accept, well, this is how the cookie crumbles. That's just how it goes. And, you know, the enemy's taking another captive. Or do you come on? Or do you say, I don't think so? And you're going to hear what she did. Let's watch. Listen.
Yeah. So take us a little bit more on the journey of Lindsay. What happened after that?
Well, early on, I had to make up my mind that I was going to have to hear from God and stand in this place no matter how long it took.
Come on.
Until my daughter looked like the word he gave me. And really, that's everything. I think the thing that so transformed me for this experience, this journey of intercession, was how clear and loud God will speak. He will give you a word as often as you need a word. How sweet of the Lord. Yeah. Because just one word from God is enough to carry you the rest of your life.
That's absolutely true. She's talking about a rhema word of God. You get a rhema word, it'll carry you through. You guys have heard me talk about this in my own life. Now listen, some of y'all can't accept this because it's coming from a woman. Shame on you. I felt that kickback in my spirit. Some people will not accept this because you cannot receive from a woman. Okay. But I'm telling you, if you will set aside your personal agendas and your opinions and all that stuff, and you just listen to this, if you've got a prodigal son and daughter, I'm telling you, desperation will make you do things that are unconventional. They'll make you do things that'll make you step out of your comfort zone. And we're not talking about unbiblical stuff here. We're not talking about chanting to a false god or resorting to witchcraft or sorcery or the occult or New Age or tarot cards. We're not talking about that stuff. Everything that's being said here today and that we're talking and sharing today, this is all biblical. This is real true intercession here. And we're talking about a woman of God who refused to allow the devil to take her daughter captive and destroy a relationship, a marriage, and children that were involved in this.
What's the word that he gave you?
So many.
What was
one of the first words that I remember? She had just left. I was up in the living room praying in the early morning. Oh, I was just have a Bible, just seeking God. I'd lost track of time, and ding, my phone goes off. It was a text. God loves to text me. And he loves to text. And I looked down at my phone, and it just said.
And it's a joke, guys. Chill out. For people to get all bent out of shape. She's not talking literally about God texting her. It was a joke. She's talking about people texting her that was led of the Holy Spirit to give her a word of encouragement or whatnot. That's what she's talking about. You'd be surprised. I have to clarify that because people will get all bent out of shape. Well, this woman says that God himself texts her. No, they take stuff out of context. That's not what she's saying.
From a young man who had no idea I was praying at that moment, doing this. He just says, it was from Joe. He said, felt to send you this morning.
See?
Isaiah 49:25. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I feel the Lord. Mm-hmm. The captive of the warrior will be released. Mm-hmm. The plunder of the tyrant will be retrieved. For I will fight those that fight you, and I will save your children. Yeah. Just a few hours later, that same day,
listen,
I was on my way to speak for a conference. I was in the backseat of the car, got terrible news about Lindsay. It was worse instead of better.
But sometimes when you get an encouraging word from the Lord, mm-hmm. it yes. gets worse.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Joni dropped a bomb right there. That's true. Listen, you get a rhema word from God. You get a word from God. You go to church and you got a circumstance going on and you're broken and you're in worship and you're at the altar. You're praying for a breakthrough and boom, you get the preacher gets up. The pastor, the evangelist, the whatever gets up and he drops a word from heaven to you and you know it's your word. You know it. You feel it. You receive it. Hallelujah. You're rejoicing. You're shouting. You're writing it down in your journal. You go home and you're just boiling over with excitement. And then all of a sudden it's like the circumstance that you got a word for. And you know you're going to get breakthrough on, all of a sudden it just takes a turn for worse. So she is spot on 100% what she's saying right here.
Like, yes. He texts me too, doesn't he, Rachel? The Lord texts me too and gives me like from people I don't even know. It was like, I was praying for you and this is what the Lord said. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But sometimes it looks darker.
Yeah. That's right.
Before the dawn. So yep. You still got a long journey ahead of you. You don't know that.
Yeah. It was that day though, with that terrible news in the backseat of my car, I get this news and I'm like, oh dear God, even though I just gotten that promise that morning, I was looking at the sky. I said, God, speak to me. And I promise y'all, ding, my phone goes off. Someone else, another place, another city texted me at that as I was praying. Felt to send you this, Isaiah 49:25.
Wow.
The captive of the warrior will be released. The plunder. It's God's promises. Wow.
The same verse.
The same verse on the same day.
Just in case you forgot.
Come on, you know that was God. Out of the testimony of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. That's not a coincidence. That was the Lord giving Karen what she needed. At that moment, just like God will do it for you. Some of y'all put God in a box, man. I'm telling you, you've been listening to the wrong preachers. You've been listening to a bunch of people that has no faith. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have any belief in miracles, and they don't believe that God speaks today. These are the circumstances in which God speaks. He uses people. He uses circumstances. And I'm telling you, this is an example of that very thing. So you can see how this is all setting up. So before Karen could ever get the breakthrough and see her daughter come back to the Lord, God had to prepare her. God had to get her to believe. God had to put it inside of her to fight. Come on, this is why Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that's been spoken over you, wage a good warfare. Is that not what your Bible says? In other words, you got to contend for that word. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your whole household shall be saved. That's a promise that you can take. But you know what? You got to fight for that. You don't think the devil's going to fight you for that? You start believing for that promise for your household to be saved. The devil will work overtime to have them. They'll come against you. They'll fight against you. They'll get heavier into drugs, heavier into alcohol. They'll go into prodigal living. They'll go into fornication. They'll do all kinds of stupid stuff because the enemy is trying to, number one, he's trying to stop the promise, but he can't stop it. He can only delay it. Number two, he's trying to get you to stop believing for the promise because you're not seeing the manifestation of the thing that you're praying for.
He's just so sweet to confirm what he tells us. And it happened over and over and over. He would do that. Yes. Same verse, two times on the same day to let me know this is me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, this, you being here is definitely God orchestrated. I've been going through something for about, it's only 4 weeks, but I was desperate and asking God, please show me that you're here and that you're working. And I was reading the notes from today, and that the verse from Isaiah, it was like God was saying that to me, that he will.
Amen.
Yes, he is fighting and that he will release what needs to be released.
Yes, he will.
And it's difficult. And I'm sure had God told you it was going to be 2 or 3 years, I can't handle it. I need to get through today and know he's faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow.
That's for somebody watching right now. Like what you're saying is for you, but it's also for you that it's significant that you're watching right now because you've just about been ready to give up and the Lord's saying, hold on, hold on, I'm not through. Hold on, my child. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of so many songs we could sing to what we're talking about right now. So you get that word, but still things got worse.
Yep.
Much worse. Oh. Yes, for about 3 years, it was every...
So 3 years, guys. This ain't a couple weeks, a month. 3 years went by.
Every time it was, I you'd receive a word and it would just increase instead of decrease. However, I remember just one time, I'll give you another word. This just popped in my mind.
And this will be for somebody watching as well.
I believe that. It was on a terrible day. I was in the car. I think I was coming to sing here. And as I was sitting on the plane about to take off, I text my friend Pam Barnett, who's the intercessor that was standing with me, because you need an intercessor to stand with you. You need agreement.
That's a powerful statement right there, too. That's true. We all need, if any two, y'all hear me quote this all the time, Matthew 18:19. Go highlight that in your Bible. Write it down. If any two shall agree in touching any one thing on earth, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. God works like that. Amos 3:2. How can any two walk together lest they be agreed? There's power in unity. Even in Acts 2, the Bible says they were all in one mind and one accord, and then a suddenly came. If the house is divided and they're not walking together and they're not in agreement, it hinders God from working. So she understands this principle. So she went and found, she didn't say she had 100 intercessors. She just found one intercessor that she knew would believe and touch heaven with her. Come on, that's important. You got to find that one intercessor and believe with you.
Just simply text her these words. I said, Pam, I want this to be over. The pain was just so bad.
And how far along were you into it at that point?
I was over a year.
Over a year.
But I that's all I sent her. And there was a lot of weight on that statement because a lot of you feel that way. You're just hurting so bad. I want this to be over. And that's all I sent. That night, I was in the hotel here in Dallas. I couldn't sleep. Finally went to sleep around 4 a.m. and I had a dream. And I dreamed that night that my mother, my sister, and I were in this glass room, a big glass room. And we began to sing, 3-part harmony. Mm-hmm. We began to sing, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. And it was beautiful to me because in the Bible, as I would read Isaiah, if it said, I will not stop praying for Jerusalem, I would write Lindsay's name above the word Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You know, I will not stop praying for Lindsay. So the Lord knew when this battle is over, you know, he was acknowledging my statement, Karen, and to you watching, this will be over.
Amen.
And wow, that's powerful. This will be, this too shall pass. I know it's a cliche. Everybody hears that. This too shall pass. But remember, the battle is not ours. It belongs unto the Lord. We have the victory. We are more than conquerors. Come on, somebody. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If he be for us, who is he who can be against us?
And when it's over, you will wear the crown.
Mm. Come on, when it's over.
You will wear the crown.
Good. And what about Casey, like her husband? Because here he is, the pastor. And you're with him. I know you love him. He's like a son to you.
Very much. He's a man of God.
Is he believing for her?
Very much believing. Wow. And I just prayed for him equally, too, that God would give him grace to wait through a very, very painful time. And God did that.
And in the meantime, she's having relationships.
She was.
With other people.
Now, think about that. Think about that. Think about, let's, you know, put that on the other side and think about her husband. Could you imagine being the spouse in his shoes, where you know that your spouse has left you, left your children, and sleeping with other individuals, but yet he remained praying and waiting and interceding and had such grace and forgiveness to his wife that he was willing to forgive all of this. And now I know some of you said, well, I could never forgive that individual. And listen, biblically speaking, he had every right to divorce her. Biblically speaking, he had grounds and rights to divorce her because of infidelity, because she committed adultery. But again, who are we to judge anybody who is willing to fight for their marriage and have and show this kind of mercy and show this kind of forgiveness and show this kind of grace? So, you know, I tip my hat off to this man.
She was.
That had to be just crushing him.
So not even her. Just so unthinkable.
Right.
And but, you know, at the very end, I will tell you this. It was the last week before and I didn't plan to tell this, but let me just tell you, the last week before she was to come home. Of course, I had no idea she was about to come home. And we had just come in from Winter Ramp. I'd sat down on the couch.
Winter Ramp is like a big,
big conference.
Conference.
Another conference without her was the way I saw
it. Lots of young people.
We had about 5,000 kids there.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just, for me, another conference without Lindsay. Hmm. I sat down on the couch, and my husband came in and had said, we've just received a text from Casey. And my husband read it to me. And Casey had just taken the kids for her to pick them up and with someone else in the car. Hmm. So he had texted my husband and me and just said, it's over. I can't do this anymore.
Wow. Because she had someone else in the car?
And for the first time, face to face.
Yeah, and so that's just making him feel like totally hopeless.
Yeah, after these years, too.
Yeah,
So I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I just simply put down my sandwich, got my car keys, and I started driving. And I drove for over an hour, parked in an old parking lot, an empty house. And it was midnight, and I just cried out to God. And he says in his word, you call on me, I'll answer you.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear how she responded? So she receives this news, just disheartening, devastating news, on top of all the other bad news reports that she got. And this went on 1, 2, 3 years. She receives this, the last straw. The last brick in the wall, the last thing that this is it. I'm done. Her husband's like, I'm done. So she goes and she cries unto the Lord, calls unto the Lord. And that was her response. Listen to this.
And I just cried out for over 3 years of this praying. And finally, it just seemed so hopeless. So I was just, to be honest with you, I was just screaming. Why? Why? Mm. Why? And where are you?
Yeah.
Mm. And I remember looking at God saying, God, I'm not saying where are you because I'm angry with you. I'm saying where are you because I believed you.
Yes. Mm.
I believed these promises. Yes. Where are you? And with God as my witness, I heard him speak and he said, say out loud, Lindsay and Casey are getting back together.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow. Well, this was the week that the judge was signing the paper. It was over.
See, God was trying to change her vocabulary, the words that she's speaking out. Guys, it's so important. I could preach a whole message out of this. Jesus said, if you shall say unto your mountain, cast thyself into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things in which you sayeth, he shall have whatsoever he sayeth. And we said this the other night. It's important on our Monday night prayer. We said when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he says, when you pray, you say. You have to open your mouth. You have to decree. You have to declare. You have to loose. You have to bind. And this is what he was teaching her. Listen to this.
The Holy Ghost said, say out loud, Lindsay, in case you're getting back together. And I remember shocked how hard that was to pull up. So I said out loud. I went, Lindsay, in case you're getting back together. It sounded like that. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, in case you're. And the Holy Ghost said, say it again. So I said, Lindsay, in case you're getting back together, say it again. I said, Lindsay and Casey are getting back together. I said it until all of a sudden I felt something.
Mm-hmm.
I felt something shift. And all of a sudden, I believed it. I said, Lindsay and Casey are getting back together. And all of a sudden, I just kept saying it till I knew it. I thought, I got to tell somebody. It's after midnight and everybody's in bed that I can call them. So I picked up my phone and it was in the car seat. And I picked it up and I just started pretend calling people. And I'd say, hey, I got great news. Lindsay and Casey's getting back together. I know. Can you believe it? I know. I'm beside myself. Yeah. I got to go by. And I just pick up. Yes. I just call somebody else. I'd say, hey, you won't believe what I'm fixing to tell you. Mm. I don't even know how many people I pretend called. Mm. I just kept calling them. And you say I'm crazy. No, I'm just calling things that are not as though they were.
Come on.
And honey, when I pulled out of that house, I pulled out a different woman.
Yeah.
Than the woman that drove in that driveway.
Yeah.
And 1 week to that day was when Lindsay called me and said, I need to come over.
Wow.
Come on. 7 days later, from the time that she released that declaration, they will be back together. And she spoke it by faith until she believed it in her heart. Because listen, you can pray all day, God. Jeremiah said, they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. How many of us, guys, I'm trying not to get emotional. How many of us have been guilty of this? When we pray for our loved ones, when we pray for circumstances, we pray for breakthroughs, and we just give the Lord lip service because we're tired, we're weary and well-doing. So we just go through the motions and we go in prayer and we go into a posture of prayer and we just open our mouth and we just utter words and we utter declarations. But in our heart, our heart's not in agreement. It's not in a marriage with our mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I can even testify in my own life how many times when I really saw breakthrough and I saw things come to pass was in those moments when I would pray and my words lined up with my faith and in my heart, and I meant it from my heart, and it began to gush out of my mouth, tears flowing, words flowing, and I knew that I was touching heaven. Just like she said, when you can step out of that prayer closet and you know that you know, I'm telling you, that's what James 5 means when he says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's exactly what she's talking about here.
Tell me what happened on that day, because you mm-hmm. had proclaimed that and you said, I believe it. God's going to happen. You've been doing it for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And yet she called you. What did she say? And were you shocked when you answered the phone?
She texted me, actually. I said, called. She texted me and said, Mom, can I come over? And, you know, whenever you are in these places, it's kind of a mixture. You're wondering, is this good? And then also you're just concerned. Could this be another one? Because sometimes hope hurts.
Yes. Yeah.
And it hurts to hope.
Because she had come to see you before.
Oh, yeah.
Given you bad news. Oh. And you had tried your best to convince her and talk to her and counsel with her. And she did not receive it.
It's like talking to a wall.
And you would leave discouraged. So here she's coming over. You don't know, good, bad, or.
Don't know.
Okay. So
I just
happened?
Knew what God had said to me that day.
So what happened?
So she says, she says, Mom, I'm coming over. And I just remember, that's why I call the book, Watching the Road, standing in that house of mine and watching out that window, watching that road when I saw our little white car. I don't know why I'm so emotional.
Because you're on the table, that's why. That's why you are.
When I saw that little white car of hers coming down that road, and she pulls into that driveway, she comes down the sidewalk. And after 3 years, I mean, she just opens the door and said, we need to talk. So we sat down at the kitchen table. And I looked at her and she said, I don't know how to tell you this. She said, but I just sent this message to Casey. And she shoved her phone across the table. And I picked it up. And it just said, Casey, I know I don't deserve a second chance. But wow. I woke up this morning missing you. And I love you. And I want to come home.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that what the prodigal son did? The Bible says, after a great while had passed, he came to himself and he said, what am I doing? I had everything in my father's house. I had servants that were a blessing to me. I had everything. I had everything going for me. I had everything that a man could want and desire. Everything was there. And I left it all because I thought that this was what I wanted. And after the Bible says, after a time, the prodigal son came to himself and says, what am I doing? I'm going back home. I'm going back to the father's arms.
Look, Anna's crying. Cindy's crying. Karen's crying. You're crying because you know that this is something you needed to hear today.
Yes.
So what did Casey help? What was his response?
Right. This
well,
is what
that
I wanna...
day, of course, he just said, we will talk later. Because he just, I mean, it was tough,
yeah, sure.
You know, for him to even wonder, can I do this?
Yeah, because you might have been here, but he had suffered, had the kids, and seen her with other people. And,
oh, yes,
I mean, so he was another whole,
yeah.
You know.
So she, that day.
That's true. That's a miracle in itself, too. And we're so focused on Casey and her returning back into the covenant with God and desiring to come back home and get out of the prodigal living that she's in. All the while, we completely overlook the fact that here's a man who was a husband now without his wife, raising children by the wife that's left him, having relationships with other men, sleeping around doing this, and now she wants to come back home. I mean, again, put yourself in his shoes as well.
She messaged him the next day. She was reconciled to her sister, my son-in-law, to her family. And the third day, they met. They had a time to meet.
Lots of things happen on the third day.
Well, you know what's crazy? After that word, and when the battle's over, you will wear the crown. One night, to just encourage myself in the Lord when it was terrible, my friend Pam, I just found a picture on Google crowns. And I just sent Pam a picture of a crown because I was hurting so bad. I came and talked. I just sent her a picture of a crown just to say, just, you know, yeah. You know. Well, moments after I sent her that text, a prophet in Birmingham sends me a picture of a crown, wow. Half gold, half crown of thorns, wow. And under it, it said, a lot can happen in 3 days.
Wow.
Well, I wow. thought it meant she was coming home in 3 days. So yeah. I was like, woo, yay, she's coming home. Oh, my gosh. Well, she didn't come home in 3 days.
Yeah.
But she came home over 3 days.
Mm.
She was reconciled. She sent the message to Casey, reconciled to yes. her family. And on the third day, thank God for the third day,
yeah.
she met with him. They talked all night.
And the divorce papers never got signed, which is really miraculous in itself.
Miraculous.
Yeah.
Because they just kept delaying the judge's signature. Wow. Everything had been done except the judge's signature. And it was crazy. And they told us that week it was being signed, and it was the week she came
home. Wow, wow, wow. Casey and Lindsay are going to get back together. That probably was an overnight process. They probably had to go through some healing as well, didn't they?
Well, the night they met and talked, they talked all night, and she never left again. So that was it.
Wow.
However, of course, there's a process of
sure.
healing.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And healing takes time.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so they share their journey often about yeah. what that took.
And she's written her own book.
She has.
It's called
The Way Home.
The Way Home. You had a question, Rach.
I was going to ask you, what do you think was a turning point for her? Like, what shifted? Was it Casey finally releasing her and saying, I can't do this anymore, that did something?
You know, she says that getting to the pig pen is what finally opened her eyes.
Wow.
Wow. Think about it.
And I remember in the beginning days when she first left.
Of course, that's the story of the prodigal son.
That's right.
Until he lost everything, his wealth, his friends, partying, all that. He left it all. He left his home behind. And the Bible says he ended up in the pig pen.
Yeah.
And he came to himself.
And he came to himself.
Mm-hmm. There. And I remember when in the first days when she had left, a great pastor said to me, he said, Karen, she may have to go to the pig pen. And I remember saying, oh, no, not that. Not that. Mm. I couldn't bear to think of
you
my daughter
to protect
there.
Your children. Yeah.
I couldn't stand to think of it. But I'll be honest with you. By the end of those years, mm-hmm. I actually said to God, you know what to do to bring her to her knees.
Whatever it takes.
Do it.
Wow. And again, guys, that whatever it takes is a prayer. I've warned you about this. You've heard me talk about this if you guys are regular viewers. If you're going to pray whatever it takes, you need to prepare for whatever it takes. Because that's the prayer that I prayed for my mom and my stepfather. And it took my mother getting cancer. God didn't put the cancer on her, but God permitted it. God allowed it. But it took the cancer diagnosis to turn her heart back to him. That's the whatever it takes for her. Whatever it takes for my stepfather was him being in on his deathbed, laying in a hospital, and me coming into the hospital and being the last voice that he heard speaking in his ear, leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ and to salvation. And then he departed from this earth. So again, if you're going to pray, and I know it's, you get to that point of desperation that you want to see those people come to God. You want to see them not go to hell. And if you pray that, Lord, whatever it takes, reconcile this relationship. Whatever it takes, bring that prodigal son back. Bring that prodigal daughter. Whatever it takes, bring so-and-so to salvation or healing to this or deliverance from that. Then we must prepare ourselves because they're probably going to go through a lot of stuff and circumstances. But remember, always remember this, the devil will make the first move, but God always has the last word.
Even if it's the pig pen.
And that was the hard prayer to pray.
Yeah. It was a hard
whatever prayer. The whatever it takes prayer is a hard prayer.
Yes.
Okay, so then when she got home and there was something the Lord had shown you, like during the waiting time of her coming back to God, the Lord showed you something that prophetically that was going to happen in their marriage, which at the time seemed
so
impossible.
Powerful.
What was that?
Oh my gosh. I was praying in on the floor of the living room one day and I heard the Lord say to me, go to the Shunammite woman. Well, I thought, don't you love this little thing hanging? I thought that it was about the Shunammite woman's son being raised from the dead. So I thought, well, that'll bless me. So I'll go read it. But instead, when I was reading the passage, I read the statement that said, about this time next year, you'll be holding a son in your arms. And all of a sudden, that's the verse that jumps off the page. And I knew when I read it, not only is Lindsay coming home, but they're going to have a son.
Wow.
Lindsay and Casey not only getting back together.
Now, the reason why this touches my heart so much, guys, again, the Word of God is living. It speaks to us. And this simple passage gave her a revelatory word. It gave her a rhema word, a promise that she held on to. She heard the Spirit of God speak to her through this little simple text of this word. The reason why this resonates with me is I remember reading out of the book of Kings about Elijah the prophet. Y'all have heard me talk about this. And through that passage and through reading about Elijah the prophet, God spoke to me on the couch in a little house, a little small rental house that my wife and I, it was our first house that we got when we first got married. And it was in, I'll never forget this, it was off Boiling Springs Road in Hart County, Kentucky. And I was in a little bitty house reading, sitting on the couch by myself one day, reading in the scriptures about Elijah the prophet. And I heard in my inner man, the Spirit of God speak to me and says, your first child will be a boy and his name will be Elijah. And I remember I closed my Bible because that was one of the first times I ever that I knew that I heard the voice of God, and it startled me because I knew I couldn't come up with this stuff. And I ran in there. I remember I ran in there. I told my wife, I said, I think I'm like 99.9% sure I just heard God's voice. And she said, well, what did he say? And I told her, and she said, well, praise God. And she said, well, let's write it down. Let's journal it. Let's put the date and let's believe God for it. And you know what? It didn't come to pass. But 5 years later, a week before my wife told me she was pregnant, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a little boy run up to me about 3 foot tall. He had, at that time in the dream, he had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he ran up to me. And it was, and I saw him. And then a week later, I told Melissa, I said, I believe I just saw our son. I saw Elijah. And a week later, she came to me and says, I got news. And she says, I'm pregnant. And she said, well, that's why God showed me the dream. And then, so all of it came to pass. So again, and I know there's people out there that try to tell you, well, God doesn't speak like this anymore. It's impossible. And this is foolish. But I'm telling you guys, y'all got to get away from that nonsense. Get away from the wet blankets. Because me personally, I don't know how y'all can hang around people like that or listen to that kind of teaching, because it gives you no hope. I want to be around people that know how to touch heaven. I want to know how to be around people that can believe God. They know the power, the wonderful working power of God, and they believe that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because those are the people that's going to carry you through those storms. Now, listen to this.
Yeah, they're going to have a son.
Wow.
So I wrote it down in my Bible. You can see it.
Yeah.
I will hold a son.
And
that's
I right
dated
there.
It December the 1st, 2014.
Yeah.
When she came home, I didn't tell her about this. When she came home, right after she came home, she got pregnant.
Come on.
And she had a son. And he was born on that date, the same day of the promise. He came early.
1 year later.
What? He was born? Guys, I got chills. He was born on the same date wherein which she got that word and wrote down that word that she got from God in her Bible that she just showed you on that date. Come on.
Later. 2 years later.
Oh, 2 years later.
Two years later.
On the same day. He came early, December the 1st, because God keeps his promise.
Yes, he does.
His timing
keeps
is perfect.
His promises.
I love the fact that you didn't tell her, because she would have probably freaked out, especially in 2014.
Sure.
While she was making her way to the pig pen, she couldn't have imagined. But
well, and that's a principle too, guys. Not, you can't be going out there and publicly sharing every word that God gives you. Come on, Joseph. Because you go around, Joseph, and tell your mom and your daddy and your brothers that God spoke to you and he's going to use you mightily. Not everybody is willing to accept the blessing that God's given you. Not everybody's going to accept your calling. Not everybody wants to accept your dream. Most people, guys, don't want to see you succeed. They want to see you fail. So Joseph learned that the hard way, because God spoke to him. Instead of him keeping that to himself, he shared it openly. And again, you can't blame the guy. This was his own flesh and blood. If he can't tell his mom and daddy and he can't tell of his own brothers, who can you tell, right? But this goes to show you that there, I'm telling you, this is a principle. There's things that God will give you, promises he'll give you. He'll give you a word. And you got to be like Mary when the angel appeared to Mary and said, you shall bear a son and his name shall be Emmanuel. And you shall conceive this by supernatural conception. It will not be by Joseph. This will be by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Mary heard that, and she kept this to herself, and she pondered on the word until eventually the word had to be made manifest.
God was so faithful. I do want to say this, though, that it's so important for you to realize that, yes, we pray, we trust God with our kids, but the onus is not on us to make that decision for them to come back. They have a free will.
That's good.
Right?
Yes.
They do.
And
course.
So they have to make the decision to come back. We can't impose that on him. Yes, we believe God to be faithful and to send the right people across their path and to help us. But there's some of you who felt guilt, you felt shame, you felt condemnation. Like, if I'd done this or that, or maybe you made mistakes, or don't allow the enemy to put that on you. Okay.
That's a good word.
You start right now where you are and understand that God will be faithful. And it may take longer than you think. It may be a shorter amount of time, but the trusting part, I think, is the hard part, don't you?
It is. And one time the Lord said to me during that season, He said to me, trust is worship and rest is warfare.
Wow.
And we ultimately trust him and we pray till we can come to a place of just rest.
Yeah.
And when we play, when we come to a, I think trust is probably the highest form of worship and rest may be the highest form of spiritual warfare there is. When you've prayed through something to the degree that you know, I can rest.
Yes.
Because Ephesians 6 says, having done all, stand therefore. You can only do so much praying. You can only intercede. You can only pray. You can only fast. You can only read your Bible. You can only pray. You can only worship. You can only do so much. And then the battle is not yours. It belongs unto the Lord. This is why the Lord says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord your God.
Knowing that it may not look like it. I'm supposed to look right now, but I am resting in the fact that I have a word and someday God's going to answer.
And it shows your full reliance on the Lord to say, I know I can't do this and I'm letting you do what you do best because the victory is already mine.
All right, guys, so I hope you, I want to go right into this. I don't even want to talk over that. I want to, while the anointing is here and the Spirit of God is here, I want us to pray right now. If you're watching, you're listening, this has touched your heart. Your eyes are swelling up with water. You've been crying through this because you're in Karen's seat. You've got a prodigal son. You've got a prodigal daughter. You've got a prodigal grandson or granddaughter or someone close to you in your heart that you walked with God in the days of old, but they, like a dear friend of mine, that led me to the Lord, that was there for the birth of my child, that was my best man at my marriage, but he walked away from God and now he's out here living prodigal living. Listen, we're all in this. I'm in this boat. I'm willing to venture to say that the majority of us have somebody that we know of personally that this pulls the heartstrings up, and it's up to us to stand in the gap and pray for them. Let's pray right now while the anointing is here for us to stand in and intercede. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this word of encouragement and faith that comes from Karen's testimony. God, you are in the business of the miraculous. You're in the business of restoration and reconciliation. Father, I thank you that there is nothing that is too hard for you or impossible that you cannot make possible. God, you see the hearts. You see the lives of those represented tonight. You see their circumstances. You know those who are prodigal, that have gone wayward. You see those that are represented here tonight. Father, there is weeping mothers and weeping fathers and weeping grandmothers and grandfathers. There is family members here. There's neighbors here. There's friends here that, Lord, their hearts are heavy, God, and they're weeping for those individuals, God, that are in that pig pen. They're in that place of prodigal living. Right now, in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you would give them a, if this is the word of encouragement, so be it. But God, if you know what they need to hear, give them that rhema word, that scripture, just like Karen had. Someone text them, someone called them, someone gave her a word. Lord, if that's the, if however you got to get the attention of us to give us that rhema word, God, give us that knowing. Give us that knowing, God, that we can stand in the gap and we can hold to the promises, hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for you are faithful who promised, in Jesus' name. And God, we continue to pray, we continue to intercede, and we continue to call them back into the fold in Jesus' name. Father, we bind all the assignments of hell that would keep them in darkness and despair and bondage and oppression and sinful lifestyles. Lord, influences, if it's associations, if it's substance abuses, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would break the power of that off of them in Jesus' name. Sever every chain, sever every fetter, and break every yoke in Jesus' name. Lord, bring them up out of the miry clay, out of the pit, out of the pig pen, Lord, and establish their goings. I pray that the eyes of their understanding be open now in Jesus' name. name. I pray that there be at least somebody that's watching or listening. May this be your season in which you see that which you're praying and believing for to come back to the fold, come back to the kingdom of God, come back to the family, a marriage reconciled, a relationship reconciled, a friendship reconciled in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name. Keep praying, keep interceding. And guys, again, I want to remind you, it may not happen overnight. You may not wake up tomorrow on Friday morning on October 18th and hear them knocking on the front door. You may not get a phone call. You may not get a text, but you got to, come on, again, you got to be not weary in well-doing, because in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And I love that scripture again. I'm going to quote that again. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Again, you've been professing this with your faith. Hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. Don't let somebody talk you out of it. Don't let the devil make you doubt it. Hold fast without wavering, for he is faithful who promised, who shall bring it to pass. Come on, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, somebody. I think this was a powerful word. And I believe some people's faith got built up. I believe people's going to start praying more. And maybe you've been, you know, maybe you have not been as serious about this praying and you've not been as fervent about it. But I pray this stirs you up that you get back in that posture of believing, professing, and praying them in back into the kingdom of God. Again, listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, pick up your app. You can get it on Apple and Android in the description of this video, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Rumble. There's a link there. You can download it today. And again, when you download that, make sure you hit yes to push notifications and you'll be squared away. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all the above, week after week after week, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner of this ministry. And you can do that several different ways. Electronically, you can go through the app at the bottom where it says donate. You can go to the main website. If you're watching this by YouTube, right there at the top where it's pinned, it says support in big capital bold letters. There's a link right there you can click and you can do all that. Or you can give check or money order and you can make it out to right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, we love you. I just want to take a second, guys. I was thinking about this last night and even today. I was thinking about, because we get cards in the mail. We get letters in the mail. We get emails from you guys. I just want to take just a second, and I want to thank all of our partners and supporters of our ministry. You know who you are. All of you guys, again, either by letter, by email, by messages, some of you take the time to write us cards. You send us pictures of your family. I'm trying not to get emotional, but guys, it's so touching. You guys are like family to me, and I'm just so honored, and I cannot express in words what it means. And I'm very honored that you are blessed by our ministry to the point where you do this and you go above and beyond. So I just want to take that second to thank everybody, all of our partners, all of our supporters. Again, you know who you are, and without your generous support, guys, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So we love you. We appreciate you. And I pray, and we always pray the Lord's blessing over you and your family. And you know that from scripture. And the Bible makes it clear, when you bless those of the household of faith, God will bless you in return. Give, and it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure that you meet and give, it shall be given back unto you. So you guys know that. But I just want to let you know, if I don't say it enough, I can't say it enough. And I want to say that we appreciate you and love you more than you know. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be back on here tomorrow. We probably will do two segments, either breaking news, or we'll do a short video. And of course, we'll be back on our main program at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord's blessing upon you. May his countenance shine upon you. And may his favor be with you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.